Hello and welcome to another episode of Irreverent Testimony, our second today. Although I don't know when exactly we'll be publishing it. But it is 10 o'clock at night, Mountain Time, January 14th, 2016. And we just got done watching the GOP presidential debate. I'm Travis.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Dana.
And that was something. I'm not sure what I was expecting in the wake of the State of the Union address. But it was kind of a debate of two halves. First half was fun because we got into the shit show sparring over whether Cruz is a citizen and Trump saying he's not. And it was a mostly partisan crowd for Cruz. So there was some of that. There was some good sniping and infighting, and they brought up guns. And it was just a horror show. And then the second half of the debate, they basically replayed the last debate where it was the same questions and answers. And
like the last three debates, right?
All
like
about tax plan says this and your tax plan says that, but we both want to give big tax breaks to rich people and fuck everyone else. And ISIS is bad and it's Obama's fault. And that was basically it. But I'm going to turn it over to you guys for some feedback.
So this was in South Carolina, where there's going to be a primary in 47 days. It was hosted by the Fox Business Network with Neil Cavuto and Maria something. And
what's wrong with her face?
And Neil Cavuto, I just want to punch most of the time. So they talked about the State of the Union right at the top and asked, the first question was to Cruz about sort of what Obama said about jobs and the state of the economy. And he kind of went, nah, I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about the sailors who were captured by Iranian fleet and taken into custody and how...
And were released yesterday.
And were released, yeah, at 2 a.m. yesterday.
But they couldn't let that pass by.
No, and they were super mad that Obama didn't mention it in the State of the Union. And they were obsessed with the idea that these guys were on their knees in the photo. That came up like 17 times.
Yeah, I figured they were going to mention it just in passing. I didn't know that they were going to just harp on it that strong because they're going to look dumb when everybody looks it up and finds out they were released yesterday. It's going to be like, what's the big effing deal? But I guess they were just like, it's just too good to pass up. We got to hit Obama on this. We hate the Iran deal. We hate Iran. You know, these guys were captured and there's a picture of them on their knees, so that's gold. We got to go with it. And of course, anybody logical, sane person will think about it like, why didn't he mention the State of the Union? Oh, because they were negotiating behind the scenes to get them released, and that could have fucked it up, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But they had ruled it.
The most interesting aspects of that story was that, one of the bad things that happened out of this was that it was against the Geneva Conventions to kind of gloat like that on the Iranian side.
Yeah.
To release all those pictures and those photos is kind of expressly forbidden in the Geneva Conventions.
Sure, so, and we know that the United States never violates the Geneva Conventions.
Oh, never, ever.
Yeah. And then Cruz was like, basically, if I was the president, we would have gone to war rather than...
They all said that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Over those 10 people, rather than just get them back within like 24 hours. Let's go to war. So that's fun.
Well, this is a new reality is that, you know, the force solves everything. And
yes.
And this is the first and I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but I think this is the first ever debate of any kind where a presidential candidate endorsed a Michael Bay movie.
Oh, my God. And we will get to that later. But holy
absolutely
shit.
Insane.
That was precious. Okay. Anyway, go ahead, Rach.
So next question was to Kasich. Basically, they asked him if the economy fails again and in the same way that it failed for Obama and you're sort of coming into a failing economy, what do you do? And he would like to freeze federal regulations of all kind for a year.
Every federal regulation.
Yes.
Including the housing markets and derivatives trading.
Yeah, exactly.
Because what could go wrong there?
Exactly. FDA. Like, what?
Yeah, the FDA, that's regulations.
Yeah, so that was cute. And then cut taxes for corporations because, you know, and then corporations would invest. And then, of course, because I did it in Ohio, which is the end of every sentence he said all night.
Well, he borrowed that from O'Malley's, you know, I know I can do it because I already did it.
Yep.
Well, and, you know, it's these third-tier candidates that have to constantly do the reminding everyone who they are.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, exactly right. Yes. Christie was asked, when should the president use military action? And
didn't really answer.
No, he didn't. He wanted to talk about the State of the Union. He called it story time with Obama and basically said it was a fiction, that everything he said was a lie and that everything's really awful. And yeah.
You know, I actually thought it was really interesting tonight. I heard several times people minimizing other people's public addresses as story time or like the Real Housewives of whatever state that the person was in, or I forget a couple of the other references, but there were a lot of minimizing references where
yeah, of course when they're talking though, it's 100%, you know, honest and gospel and
exactly
factual and should be taken with the utmost seriousness.
Yeah.
Exactly. But when somebody else talks, it's story time.
Right.
I think even Ben Carson would agree that when he talks, it's story time.
I would have to agree.
Fairy tales from Alpha Centauri quadrant.
What's that, Dan?
He talked. He had to admit that he was afraid he would have to be woken up to answer the question.
So yeah, he wasn't even kidding. That wasn't a laugh line. Like,
no, it wasn't.
Yeah. And then Christie said something really weird. He said that he would like to start speaking to our allies again, which was confusing for me because we do a lot of that.
Yeah, I think we do that quite a bit.
Yeah, and then he's like, and also talk to our adversaries and let them know the limits of our patience, which is something everyone says, basically. But the strengthen our allies part and the letting the military deteriorate is what Obama's done. There was a lot of that talk tonight, too, which was just a bald-faced lie.
Yeah, yeah, the military's falling apart. There's only, like, one rickety ship left called the SS Minnow. And
yeah, I mean, the first time I heard it, I got outraged, and the second time I heard it, which was like 12 seconds later, I started to get numb to it, and then, I don't know, I started to feel into a little bit of a slumber where I felt like this must be what their base feels like all the time, like just accepting this as taken fact.
Oh, exactly, sure, because if all you listen to is Fox News and Breitbart, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, then you've been completely brainwashed.
Over the last 8 years, the American military has fallen into complete disrepair.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane argument.
And been, like, completely defunded, and we have no troops left. And no. It's a great thing to say, too, on
the only working Air Force planes are B-52s. And
yeah.
Yeah.
So then they went to Jeb. I'd like to point out at this point, still no Trump. Trump's the front runner, and they haven't spoken to him yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So they went to Jeb.
They made him wait.
They sure did. And they asked him about...
Does so well.
Go ahead, Dana.
I just said, which he does so well.
Yeah, yes. Basically about the rhetoric that's been flying around, and he basically said, like, we're not better off now than we were... under, you know, before Obama, like, Obama's terrible. And then he was talking about national security stuff and how China and North Korea and all these scary places, and then he's like, and Dodd-Frank.
Yeah, yeah, he threw in Dodd-Frank with the national security stuff, and I just didn't have a clue, but...
It made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I didn't know where he was going with that. It's just like word salad.
Yeah, just things people hate.
I think that there's a conservative argument to be made that, you know, changes that are made, you know, within the United States could mess with our position abroad. Particularly, you know, China was brought up a lot of times about our ability to deal with them and their different manipulations of their currency and that sort of thing. Yeah. But I think that there's maybe a Homeland Security argument to be made. I don't think it's a good one, but to just throw in Dodd-Frank in there, like, without any explanation,
no
made
reference.
No sense whatsoever.
Well, this is why Jeb Bush is a terrible, awful, horrendous candidate, and he's just, I guess he's gonna, you know, squeeze all that money out of the super PAC or, you know, whatever else he's got, but he can't crack 5%, and this is it. I certainly don't think he helped himself tonight.
No, definitely not.
Not at all.
No. Just, it's so boring. He's so boring.
He seemed like a totally uninformed, boring tool.
Yes. Milk toast, white
like,
guy.
More so than, you know, anyone else up there, which is saying a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things, and, you know, I don't want to jump ahead here, but I kind of like at a certain point, I'm just thinking, like, God, let's try to put myself in a position of a completely, truly independent potential voter who doesn't know anything about any of these guys and is nonpartisan and is just watching and trying to find something likable about any of these people on stage.
Exactly. And not one. Think, what is a redeeming quality, even like...
Eight pompous windbags. you know?
Yeah, they're not funny, they're not interesting, they don't have a good speech, what would you call it earlier?
Cadence?
Yeah. It's just like...
Bush is the worst at that.
Yeah.
It's like uncomfortable watching him speak.
Well, Carson, come on.
Well, yeah, but Carson is not of this earth.
Carson's always that way.
Carson no, is
I sent Rachel a message about halfway through, maybe a third of the way through, and was like, I don't think that this makes any sense. None of them seem any presidential whatsoever. Like,
no, but Bush really had some weird lines. Dodd-Frank wasn't the only one. At some point, I'm trying to remember what the quote was, where he said, we have to get the lawyers off the back of the war fighters.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
And what? I don't even remember what the context – I think it was something about ISIS.
Yeah.
He's like, well, to defeat ISIS, we have to do this, do that, get the lawyers off the back of the war fighters. And I'm like, what in the actual fuck is he even talking about?
What does that mean?
I stretched my brain on that a little bit and think that maybe that might be some real weird twisted reference to Guantanamo. Maybe.
The lawyers off the back of the war fighters?
Like, we have to let the war fighters do stuff regardless of what we want to do legally.
Oh. Like the lawyers defending the Guantanamo right. Bay prisoners?
Right.
I mean, that's an awful thing to say.
That's such a stretch. That's the best I could come up with for what that could possibly have meant.
You might be right, but I honestly have no idea. I mean, I guess, yeah, that's as plausible as anything else. Like, him and Carson were really going back and forth with the nonsense, like, what the fuck are you saying lines. And I forget Carson's now.
I'm sure I have it written down.
Yeah, Carson had some doozies.
He did.
That just didn't make any sense at all.
Well, and then Rubio was asked next about homegrown terrorism and legitimately did not answer the question at all and gave a very establishment, I'm going to be the candidate response, which was attack Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
emails, Benghazi, Obama apologizes for America, declare war on ISIS, and give them all a one-way ticket to Gitmo, where basically he implied we were going to be torturing people again. So...
Right, well, that's on the heels of Obama saying he's going to close Gitmo, which politically that's not going to happen. And
well, this was Cruz, right?
No, it was Rubio.
That was Rubio, right.
I mean, I'm sure Cruz said the same thing, but...
Yeah. I was going to say, for Cruz, that would be a particularly bad thing on the heels of, you know, the news of him sending someone up the river for stealing a calculator.
But not to his base. They love that shit.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I just feel like the reason that's sort of the Beltway wisdom is that's presidential is because he's not attacking the other candidates. He's attacking the president and who he assumes is going to be his running opposition.
Yeah. Well, that's another thing that became perfectly clear tonight is that outside of Bush, who's a dead man walking, there really is nobody left on stage who even is going to give any thought to positioning themselves for a general. They're trying to win with the base, and if they're lucky enough to get nominated, try to etch a sketch and work your way back, maybe, or something. Other than Bush, though, nobody has the long view.
No.
And it's just red meat after red meat after I'm going to double down on your red meat to the reddest meat I can find, and, you know.
Did you guys take note of that little exchange where Trump and Cruz were kind of giving each other the raspberry as to who's going to be the other person's vice president?
Yeah.
Well, that was
in
the context of you know, yeah, you're not really an afterborn citizen, which Rachel's going to get to here in a hot second.
So Carson was next, and this is where he used the line like, oh, thanks for asking me a question this early. I thought you'd have to wake me up when it was my turn. they asked him about how you attack ISIS or terrorist networks militarily, because they're networks and not countries.
Right.
And he had no warfare. Answer to that. He just talked about dirty bombs a lot.
Oh, that's right. He went off on – he said that ISIS was going to detonate a EMP device in the upper atmosphere, which they have absolutely no capability of doing. I think only the Russians have the capability of doing that. Maybe the French, you know, if you actually like studied this stuff in college.
Yeah.
But, that was really strange that ISIS was going to use dirty bombs and EMP devices.
Yeah.
And upper stratosphere nuclear detonations.
But the question was, how do we fight a network? And he just gave fear-mongering answers about
it. Yeah, he didn't even, like, say how to combat it. No. Just that could happen.
Yeah. And then the last person to do opening was Trump, which we both thought was really intentional on behalf of the network because they hate him. So.
I'm sorry. I have to back up just a quick second. Yeah. To anybody who is listening to that Carson exchange, if you're going to detonate an EMP device or a nuclear blast in a level of the atmosphere that would cause an electrical disruption, which was part of the American and Soviet war plan, you know, back in the days of the Cold War, you have to have a vehicle to deliver that nuclear weapon. So you have to launch it from a rocket or an ICBM. That's not easy to do, or a submarine. ISIS does not have submarines.
Optimus Prime do it.
Optimus Prime. Well, that's we're linking to the Michael Bay stuff now, but
that was unintentional. I meant the real Optimus Prime.
Well, right, but see, ISIS does not have intercontinental ballistic missile capability. The North Koreans don't even have that. So
and they devote most of their time and resources toward trying to do that, and their entire country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where Carson was going with that, but just how it's complete blather and nonsense is an insult to blather and nonsense. I just can't believe he said that with a straight face, and that the moderators in the audience sort of let him get away with it. I guess they were kind of saying to themselves, like, Jesus, this guy's a fucking lunatic. But I that was just jaw-dropping.
Yes.
I mean, if you were there, would you honestly want to press him on that?
On anything.
No, you just move on.
Yeah.
You know, I have a feeling like Rens Priebus like had like, you know, like the college or the football coaches in the NFL have the little earpiece and the person upstairs like, you know, do this, do that. And Rens Priebus like, next question.
Move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So Trump was they talked about the State of the Union and how there was that doctor who was a Syrian refugee that was present at the State of the Union that Obama spoke about briefly, who had lost his family and then was a refugee who came to the United States and is a doctor, and that that's the real face of Syrian refugees. And then
Trump said, no, it's
came,
not, that
no.
they're all terrorists or something.
And remember, he's like, I went and looked at those lines of immigrants, and there were no women, just strong men. Big
oh, right,
men,
no women and no
men.
Children coming from Syria. They're all big, burly men.
Yeah, which was bizarre.
I mean, how long is that line right now? How many we said that we'd allow in? How many people?
20,000.
And how many of them are in a line?
Where is this line?
Where
that
is
we went
this
to?
Line?
I don't know.
It's outside of Trump Tower. I mean,
right, of course.
The way that it works is they have to be cleared through the process before they ever board a plane. So
exactly. Which they're all saying there is no process. They keep repeating that.
They're just like in a line, like in the ocean.
They're just in a line? They're on the American border.
Of Syria?
Not to the north, not to the south. And we don't have east and west borders. So where's this line?
It's
on the Syrian border to the United States.
In Trump's head. But
he's from New York, so it could be Ellis Island. He saw.
Well, Rubio took it a crazy step further, which I'll get to later. I mean, they just doubled and tripled down on the crazy tonight in ways that I was even kind of shocked about. I mean, this was a horror show of crazy, but I'll get to the Rubio thing later when it comes to refugees.
So the next kind of point they wanted to talk about was Cruz, and there was a New York Times article about this money that he borrowed from like Goldman Sachs or something and didn't report it. It was $1 million.
And he said it was a paperwork error.
Paperwork error of $1 million.
From Goldman Sachs.
Right?
What?
What was that?
His wife worked there at the time, so it was a family loan, according to that, right?
It was something that he was supposed to disclose, and he did not.
Oh, certainly.
And that will come up, I'm sure, later, if, you know, when he's still around.
Right.
Certainly. I just think it's important to note that it's not like it came through a campaign donation or anything. It was money.
No, it was a loan against their assets. Yeah.
Who worked there. Yeah.
So then the next thing they talked about was naturalization, and this is where the first crazy started to happen. So Cruz says back in September, Donald Trump's lawyers said that they looked into this issue and that it isn't an issue, that everything should be fine, and then said, I don't think the Constitution has changed since September, but the poll numbers sure have. And then he went on to talk about, like, if you go a step further and you say both of your parents have to have been born in the United
States. Yeah,
which
Trump has never said.
No,
it was a total red herring.
Anyone ever say that?
Some of the absolute crazies on like WorldNet Daily say it.
Okay.
But like, yeah, he went a step further and saying if you go really crazy with the conspiracy theorist, then you wouldn't be eligible because your mom was from Scotland.
Yes.
And Trump rightfully like said, like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. This is about you and where you were born.
Right. And then he brings up Lawrence Tribe, who is Cruz's former college professor.
At Harvard, constitutional college professor.
And who is the one who came out on NBC and said, like, there is a legitimate constitutional question here, not that he's not eligible, but that it needs to be
as Ross Story erroneously reported him saying, which he did not. He repeated it tonight. There may be a question.
Right. And that's when they got into the stuff we were talking about earlier. So Trump said, the reason I'm doing this isn't because of poll numbers. It's because if I pick you for my vice presidential nomination,
the Democrats will sue.
Yeah, and we can't have that hanging over our heads.
It's such bullshit.
Yes. And then he's like, and if on the 4-5% chance you get the nomination, then that will also be hanging over your head, so why don't you just get it cleared up? And then Cruz, of course, came back and said, well, when I get the nomination, I'll pick you as my vice president, and then if they decide I'm not eligible, you can have the top spot anyway.
When I'm the queen, I'll make you scrub toilets!
Well, and I thought the moderators then said, like, isn't that going against what you had said earlier? And he's like, yeah, well, I said that earlier because he was doing nothing. Now he's doing 5% in the polls, so now I gotta have a different position.
Which is such a Weasley answer, and only Trump gets away with that.
Out loud?
Yeah, it's like, and only Trump gets away with that bullshit. It's like, you know, you can't turn around and say, oh yeah, I'm really worried about the constitutionality of this guy running, but I didn't care when he was an also-ran.
Yep.
It's like, okay, but Trump said it, so it's okay.
And he literally said, I'm not doing this because of the polls. And then he's like, well, you're doing better in the polls, so that's why I'm doing it. And you're like, all right.
Yeah, that was the part that blew me away.
Nothing blows me away from Trump.
Just that you could literally say two contradictory sentences, one right next to the other.
He does it all the time.
Yep. He is a piece of work.
I see them, you know, on a day-to-day basis, but literally back-to-back, it's just facepalming.
It's amazing, isn't it? And like I said, imagine if you're a nonpartisan, independent person just watching. You're just like, what in the actual fuck are these people on the stage?
No, for real. I mean, I mentioned this earlier, but I really kind of want to make a point of this. Like, no one up there seemed presidential. It almost seemed like this campaign has gone on so long that it's almost like it's their sports teams or something, and like a small victory can take it for them, like, down to the point where, like, the opening credit sequence, like, coming back and stuff, looked like the Super Bowl opening. Like, it had the same music, and it had the same kind of graphics.
Their little inspirational video at the beginning, you mean?
Yeah, the inspirational video, but then also, like, when they came back from commercial,
we didn't see that because we were watching online.
Oh, okay. Well, when they came back from commercial, they were, like, big graphics and, like, ba-da-da-da-da! Fucking,
were there cheerleaders?
Music. They're not there, but at the Trump rally earlier, there were those little girl cheerleaders, which shall not remain.
Oh, the Nazi youth Kim Jong-un's people's choir?
Oh, my God.
Singing about Trump, our dear leader, or whatever the fuck that was.
Yeah, he didn't bring them to the debate, but...
This is what always shocks me, and this happens a lot. It happens to on the left, too, but on the right, they have these social media or these PR people that just get it so wrong. I mean, how can anybody think that was a good idea? And that it's not going to come across as horribly creepy and weird.
It was made me physically uncomfortable to watch. Like,
that was terrible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he also did run all the pageants in his, you know.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Yeah,
maybe he's numb to maybe some of the finer points on that, but.
He's numb to a lot of the finer points.
He's not to a lot of the finer points. We can just leave it there.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on, Rach. What do we got next?
Rubio chimed in and, again, tried to establish himself as the candidate by saying, we don't need to be attacking each other. We need to be remembering that Obama is the problem. Obama, Obama.
But now I'm going to go ahead and attack Cruz and everybody else.
Yeah.
And Jeb.
Yep.
Well, and Obama's not running.
No, unfortunately for them. Although, Christie, are we to that yet where Christie's going to kick his ass out of the White House when his when his term is up.
Oh my god. Yes. So we had a little spat now between Rubio and Christie. So we went from Trump Cruz to now we're at Rubio Christie. And I guess in the media Rubio had called Christie some names and said, like, he supports all the same policies that President Obama supports.
You specifically mentioned Common Core.
Common Core, gun control, Sonia Sotomayor, which I thought was interesting.
That was weird.
Planned Parenthood.
Well, actually, Christie did support Sonia Sotomayor. He turned around and lied and said he didn't right after that.
just like publicly said, yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she's qualified, and she she should be confirmed.
So I was gonna say he's a governor. It's not like he gets a vote.
No, but he did say that. Yeah. It's like
he did stand up for her, but for him to turn around and say no, I didn't, was weird.
It's par for the course for these assholes. They just lie about everything.
I didn't know that people still remembered her or hated her so much. I didn't. She's not on my radar as someone that is to be reviled, I guess, but.
You don't watch enough Fox News.
I guess not.
You got to think base on this. Like, Sonia Sotomayor is not someone that anyone's going to, you know, pitchfork and torch.
But that's all it was. And I guess I can understand a Christie who's languishing at 3 and 4% and needs to try to make a splash. Yeah. But, like, even Rubio and Cruz and Trump, it's all base, 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 base. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how you try to walk back this stuff in a general election.
Well, and then Christie came back and he was like, I don't like Sotomayor. I never wrote a check to Planned Parenthood. I vetoed gun control laws. I pardoned people in trouble for gun stuff.
He said he eliminated Common Core, which is not true at all.
No, right?
He didn't let fucking violent criminals out. Like, at what point in time did it become a applause line to say that I let violent gun criminals out of jail because they committed gun crimes?
Yeah.
Because of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, like, I picked
Twilight Zone shit is this?
I picked up on that too. And again, it's just like, I'm dumbfounded.
It was
at
amazing.
The craziness
it was
of tonight.
Yeah.
Like, even more so than the other debates.
Yeah, me too.
And his violent crime is committed with a gun? Oh, well, let's let him out because we love guns so much.
Because Second Amendment.
Because Second Amendment.
Second Amendment. That makes, I mean.
And then later, directly.
It's like an episode of Tales from the Crypt or something. It's crazy.
And then directly contradicts himself on another question when they're talking about guns later by saying the only way to be effective at preventing gun crimes is basically to lock up all the people who commit them and throw away the key because deterrence. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
When he was just touting his Second Amendment credentials for releasing them?
I mean,
what
are you doing? It's crazy. So then Jeb steps in and tries to be the daddy in the room and says, you know, hey guys, we're all better than Hillary up here. Let's not trash each other. We need to be united at the end of this.
And then they all nodded and then went back to trashing each other.
Yes, correct. Yep.
That one thing, just stepping in, yeah, there was a little bit of Bernie, you know, taking shots at Bernie. But overall, 99% Hillary. They think it's going to be her. End of story. Or even if they think that she might be in trouble, that's what plays with their base the best, is to say Hillary is the devil and I'm the exorcist.
Right. Obama Clinton, right?
Obama
Clinton. It's like one person. The right. Obama Clinton administration. Yeah.
Even shit she had nothing to do with, like economic policy. She's the Secretary of State.
For God's sake. I know.
Yeah. Christie did that a lot. Jeb Bush did that a lot. And even when they took shots at Bernie, it was via Clinton, or I guess Clinton via Bernie.
They would just say, like, well, like, nobody up here is a socialist, and that's, like, they didn't really even mention him by name more than
a couple
times.
No, they did. Christie mentioned him by name, I think, once, and Kasich said that if he was the nominee, the Democrats would lose all 50 states.
Yeah.
Newsflash, buddy.
Yeah.
And then they try to do a little bit of prediction, you know, fortune-telling, and say that, you know, if, you know, as this continues to go on, Bernie's going to pull Clinton even further to the left on her already crazy leftist policies.
Yep. And speaking of Bernie, they asked one question. The moderators asked one question. It was to John Kasich. And that's what you were just talking about.
Right.
Just about his policies. And he said, if he gets the nomination, we'll win every state. And then he started talking about wages are low and we need to retrain 50 to 51-year-olds, which I thought was a really small age range for wanting to retrain, like 50 to 51-year-olds. That's where we need to focus on retraining.
Right.
How old is he specifically?
Huh?
How old is he specifically?
That's a great question. Probably in his 60s.
I think he's almost 60. I think he's 59, maybe.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
He's thinking about 8 years ago, he maybe could have used some retraining.
when he left the Senate?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he talked about, like, what can be done and, you know, reducing the cost of education and training for jobs that exist.
The answer is cut taxes for corporations.
Right.
That's their answer for everything.
For everything.
And everything. Like, cure cancer, cut taxes for corporations
and rich people.
Stop ISIS, cut taxes for corporations.
Yeah, and then
we can't do either of those things. Weren't both those things points from the State of the Union, stop cancer, or cure cancer and stop ISIS. Aren't we opposed to those things now?
Oh, no, no. Cancer didn't actually come up in the debate.
Obama's for him, so I'm assuming they're against him.
Right?
Right, right. No, yeah. Somebody from Fox is. I actually said don't bother with the cancer thing.
Yeah, don't bother. You know, we don't have the money
for it.
Yeah. He said, then he's like, I did all of these things when I was in Washington, D.C., and both of us looked at each other and went, yeah, under Clinton.
Under Clinton,
under
yeah.
Clinton, and the economy was great because it's Democrat.
he leaves that part out for some reason.
Okay, now we're going to get to some really fun stuff.
Before we do that, we're just going to take a quick break here. Great. And, we'll be right back. Hello and welcome back to Irreverent Testimony, the political podcast by and for millennials and Gen Xers, and talking the GOP debate. And where did we leave off?
We left off with the most disgusting question of the night.
there's a lot of them.
Yep. They asked Ben Carson, is Bill Clinton a legitimate issue in this presidential race? And quote, is Hillary Clinton an enabler of sexual misconduct? Which the fuck kind of question is that?
To ask to Ben Carson, no
to
less.
To Ben Carson, which is like, oh, God, this is not going to go well. to which it didn't go well.
He went off the rails.
It was crazy amazing. It was my favorite answer of the whole night. He's like, oh, our values are good, but their values are bad, and Christian values, Judeo-Christian values are good, but we have race wars and gender wars and class wars, and man, have you read those internet comments? They are mean, and the secular progressives is why. And we just went, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, those horrible racist, misogynist internet comments are all a secular progressives.
Yeah, all the left. We're the ones that are constantly being, well, I guess we could be racist against white people
and
sexist against men.
Okay.
I think that's what he meant.
Yeah.
And against, like, Kim Davis, crazy evangelicals who want to deny gay people their rights.
Right, because those are Judeo-Christian values?
I guess.
So that was amazing.
I don't know how that pertained to Hillary being an enabler.
I don't either.
Hillary
reads
too many internet comments?
I don't know.
I mean, I think that Ben Carson is the, maybe the king of the evade because no one expects him to say anything meaningful anyway.
I guess. I don't know if he's being evasive. I just don't think he can form coherent thoughts into words.
Well, Travis and I think he may be an alien.
I think that's entirely possible, but had they asked that question to anyone else on that stage, they'd have gotten a controversial answer.
Maybe. I think they just would have changed it. They would have been like, you know, that's an excellent question, but let's go back and talk about Benghazi again or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
I mean, that happened on every question, more than any other debate I've ever seen in my entire life, where they refused to answer the question, just talked about whatever they wanted to. Back to the, I think these people have been on the campaign trail way too long.
Yeah, they all do that, though. Even the Democrats do that way too much.
Sure, but not to this degree, where, it doesn't even matter what the question is. It's like, hey, here's part of my stump speech that I really want to
make sure to get out tonight.
They're getting coached. At this point, they've been coached enough that they know how to pivot and go back to the thing that they want the soundbite for. Whereas before, they were kind of just like floundering. I think that once you're to your point, Dana, once you've been this long on the campaign trail, you've been coached enough that all the answers are just...
It's an autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
In Carson's case, I really think he does nod off and start, thinking about fairies and rainbows and...
I agree. He's
Star
autopilot.
Star Trek Nemesis or something.
And he's autopilot by his Pegasus sleigh 100% of the time.
And then, I was just thinking about that mean internet comment someone said about me. I'm going to talk about that. Like, what are you talking about?
It was
about?
Probably me. There's a good chance it was me, especially if it was on Twitter. Yeah, you know, Ben Carson is the strangest presidential candidate to go this far I've seen. I mean, you know, Alan Keyes threw his name in the ring, and Tom Tancredo was a, you know. Yeah, and, you know, Ralph Nader, he's been kind of weird in and of himself. But, like, to get this much support and actually, like, be the front runner for a hot second, I guess Rick Perry was pretty bizarre, too, but that's because he was addicted to painkillers.
Yeah.
You got a Perot. I mean, that's going back a deep.
Perot was weird. Carson is way weirder.
Oh, yeah. By far.
Yeah, and it's just like you watch this guy and you're like, this guy? I mean, back a few months ago when he was like the leading GOP candidate, I just nearly lost my mind. I'm just like, these people have just all gone completely nuts. But now he's still getting 10 to 12%. And it's just like, really? This guy? You want this guy to be your president?
I want this guy
to be the president of the United States and have the keys to the nuclear arsenal. This guy.
I really don't see that after an event like tonight. I think that that's going to start to decline because the people that I personally know that have been Ben Carson, not necessarily full supporters, but been like, he'd be an okay one. They always say, like, he's such a brilliant man.
Great. He's a brilliant neuroscientist, neurosurgeon, no doubt about that. But as a politician and a potential president, I mean, like, I would love to, like, talk to our dads and be like, so would you really vote for Ben Carson? They might say, yeah. And then we'll just sit him down and, like, watch a videotape with him.
Yeah.
Of, like, just, and he's like, really? You want really? This guy to
that
be your
guy.
President? Really?
Yeah.
And there's no way with a straight face they could look at us and say, yeah.
No. No way.
Absolutely. No way. I think tonight was I keep hearing Ben Carson death rattles, but I don't know any person could see his performance tonight and been like, yeah, I want him to win.
You would think, but we'll see, man. He's still – you know, they keep talking about the Carson death spiral, but it seems like he's kind of bottomed out at 10% for now.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to keep going because he's selling books, you know?
Yeah, exactly. As long as he still has money and he can get a book deal.
And he's enjoying it?
Yeah.
Why not?
Sure.
So I think he's going to stick around. Who knows? He could drop out tomorrow. I have no idea.
I know none of us want to support his campaign, but is anyone on the conservative side willing to, like, pop off the $15 to actually read his book and see how insane it is?
I've heard excerpts from it. I think Jeb Lund reviewed it, and it's mostly ghostwritten, so it's not that crazy. It's not like, you know, Ben Carson off the cuff, from what I've heard. Have you read parts of it?
I've read nothing from it. I just was wondering if maybe
No. See, they wouldn't leave Ben Carson alone with a typewriter and let him publish.
Okay.
It. There's no fucking way.
It's like, is it kind of like E.E. Cummings mixed with, I don't know.
I'm sure it's ghostwritten by some hack and just throw in a few Carson quotables to make it seem real.
Okay, so then we get to guns, and they went to Jeb first. And since he was in South Carolina, and that is where the Dylann Roof Black Church shootings happened, right?
Right, right. He opened with Dylann Roof, which is doesn't make any sense because that's a gun control argument.
Yeah.
I would think.
The question to him was, why not, given that Dylann Roof did not pass
check,
why not
enforce the background checks
and expand them?
And then he said, we do want to enforce the background checks, which is exactly one of the executive actions that Obama took.
Yes.
Was to enforce the existing background checks.
Yeah. And then he talked about deterrence and mental health. Deterrence doesn't work. Deterrence is
harsher
jail sentences don't work.
Using a gun.
Deterrence has been proven time and time again in studies to not be effective.
Yeah.
And then mental health, no one wants to do any fucking thing about it anyway. So stop talking about mental health.
Well, no. He said, well, we need to make sure that guns are kept out of the hands of those with mental health issues, which was another one of Obama's executive actions on guns.
Right.
So he basically supported Obama's executive actions on guns, but then he turned around and said, well, he shouldn't have done an executive action. He should have gone through the Congress to do it, which, of course, Congress didn't do anything about it, which is why he took the executive actions.
Yes.
Well, and it's extraordinarily hilarious for me to hear people talk about how this congressional or constitutional scholar taking executive actions is stomping all over the Constitution.
Yeah.
Because he's doing what is perfectly allowable under the Constitution.
I mean,
it's exactly what is allowed.
Yes, and George W. Bush.
He doesn't care for the Constitution. You're like, you don't care for the Constitution. You're saying executive actions don't exist?
Right.
George W. Bush did issue lots of executive orders.
More than anybody in the last four presidencies. I read a study the other day. Yeah, which they're fine with when he does it. Current?
Because we've had a few from Barry recently, so I read that in the past, but I'm not sure if that's still current based on what's happening.
Including this one, Obama has done 16, and I think George W. Bush had done like 64 or something crazy.
Yeah, that's the number I still have.
I think his were mostly signing statements, to be honest. George W.
But those still count. I mean, saying that this is now a law, but we will not enforce it, that counts.
I agree. And then basically Trump said no limits on guns, more guns, better, and then wished that the people in the San Bernardino attacks had guns, which Travis nearly lost his mind about.
That's insane.
Again, you know, if Trump doesn't pay some kind of price for this, at least in a news cycle, the guy literally said, if the victims of the San Bernardino shooting had guns, maybe this tragedy would have been averted. That's paraphrasing, but that's close to what he said. Mm-hmm. These people shot up an assisted living facility for people with severe developmental and mental health disorders.
Yes.
So
yes.
He wanted them all armed.
Which we just talked about. What, mental health is the solution? So
No, but I don't think he meant that. I just don't think he thought through what he was going to say.
Yeah.
Well, he certainly didn't.
But yeah, I mean, this is
it's a level of absurdity.
This is a facility for people with mental retardation or traumatic brain injuries who cannot care for themselves. And Donald Trump said if they were all armed, I don't know.
It's a level of absurd that I can't wrap my head around.
There was so much crazy and stupid flying around in this debate that I think he'll get away with it because it's just lost in a sea of ridiculous shit.
Right. I mean, the thing Rubio said next is almost crazier. And at least he didn't get away with it. This is the one where he said, literally, the president wants to take your guns away.
And it was even...
He is convinced that the president would, if he could, take away every person
every
in this United
gun.
States, every gun in the U.S.,
Personally.
When they said that, when somebody said, you know, that the president under President Obama, gun sales have doubled.
Yes.
He said that it's because that sounds like a country in which your president's trying to take your guns away from you.
Yes, that's why they're buying more guns.
These people are fucking insane.
It's like you answer logic with dislogic. I
don't know. And then even then Neil Cavuto was like, when you say you're convinced, can you provide me with any evidence of why you think Obama wants to take your guns away?
I just am. And then he said something about Sotomayor again?
No, he said all the press conferences he holds where he's talking about trying to take your guns away, which is not what he's talking about. By the way, those press conferences he keeps having to hold every 2 weeks.
He mentioned Eric Holder.
Well, he mentioned – hold on. So the press conferences that he has to hold every 2 weeks are not because he wants to take away your guns. It's because it's a fucking mass shooting that just happened that he has to address. And second of all, then he pointed to the conversation we were just having the other day about Bible and guns.
Oh, yeah.
Remember when he said
– people cling to their Bible and guns when they get scared.
And he's
whatever.
Like, and if you're one of those people, it sure does sound like he's trying to take away your guns.
And then Cavuto's like, yeah, but he didn't.
Yeah, but
and
he
then,
didn't.
But, and Ruby's like, well, he totally would. Mm-hmm.
So, and, like, A, when Neil Cavuto is the adult in the room, you know something's wrong. And also, I want to bring it back just a little bit to the Dylann Roof issue. Mm-hmm. Travis, do you want to talk about the news story about what was happening outside?
I don't know how much press it's going to get, but somebody rented a little prop plane and flew a banner with a big rebel flag. And what was the message? What did it say? The South will rise again? Or they
No, it was more directed than that. It was...
Yeah, it was...
Damn, I don't remember.
Shit.
But that's enough, right?
Yeah.
No, it was like a message of racial violence outside of... Like, not just the Confederate flag, but the actual message itself, and...
it was flying over the place where the...
I don't remember what it said. I'll have to look it up.
But, yeah, horrible.
But that was happening outside of the GOP debate there.
Yes.
Yeah, it was flying overhead.
Yes.
So, you know, that's classy.
Yeah, keep it classy. Okay, so, then it's Christie's turn, and he... wanted to point out that the Second Amendment was probably the Second Amendment because that it was
the second most important thing in the Bill of Rights.
It was the second most important thing, and to Travis's point, like, Maybe because we just fought a war against
the British.
The British.
We didn't want them to come back and try to reclaim their territories.
Yeah. And then he called Obama a petulant child for doing the executive action.
And said we're going to kick his ass out of the White House.
In the fall.
In the fall, which he'll actually be in
January.
Till January. Yeah. So.
And you're not going to kick his ass out. He's
term limited.
He has to go. You know.
So, this is a little bit off topic. Well, it's on topic, but something I just want to point out. I was in debate when I was in high school, and we talked about the Second Amendment a lot. And one of the ways that I would usually win debates when people would say the Second Amendment's the Second Amendment because it's the one that protects the First Amendment.
Ugh, yeah.
I was usually arguing with someone who was a Christian, and I would say, is the Second Commandment the Second Commandment because it's the second most important? And the Second Commandment, if you don't remember, is not having any false idols, graven images.
What's the first?
I would argue with people and say, is that why that's the Second Commandment? That's more important than not murdering people or stealing or not having a graven image of Jesus. And then usually if I was arguing somebody and they had a cross on their neck, I would say, isn't that a violation of the Second Commandment? And then I'd win that debate. I actually made a girl cry once to the point where she couldn't finish.
I remember that.
Good job.
Yeah, it's a good
point. Yeah, I was very proud of that. We're having an argument about guns, and I...
And the Second Amendment does not protect the First Amendment. The First Amendment protects the First Amendment. It's the rule of law.
Right. They're all equal laws.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty much what I expected on guns. Anybody else say anything crazy?
Yeah, so Cruz, oh, man. They asked him about how to stop mass shootings, and he came back and said all the things about prosecuting criminals to the fullest extent of the law because that'll be deterring them. And then he talked about Eric Holder and then again brought up Sotomayor and basically said that the Justice Department, he brought up, remember that Fast and Furious scandal with Eric Holder like 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah, I'm surprised he brought that up. I mean, that's like really going deep into the base.
Yeah, yeah. He brought that up and then, oh God, that's what he said. He said, if Sotomayor and the other liberals on the Supreme Court get their way, they will say that no one has an individual right to own guns. And
since when did Sonia Sotomayor become a right-wing boogeyman?
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe during the confirmation hearings when they brought up the thing that, like, you know, being a Hispanic, there's, you know, sometimes there was racism and that means she hates white people or whatever Fox was saying at the time. But it's like now they're still pushing
that. She was brought up a lot.
I mean, she's a legitimate Supreme Court justice who's done a really great job at this point. And, like, no one's brought up Kagan or – I mean, no one's brought up anyone else.
Yeah. And then we got hit with –
where she came it from.
Huh?
I just don't know where the boogeyman of Sotomayor came from.
They're in South Carolina, and Sotomayor is a Hispanic name. Oops, did I say that?
Well, nobody can probably pronounce it there.
They're like, who? Who's this person? And then Cruz gets a little anti-Semitic. And he talks about...
Well, anti a lot of things, but definitely anti-Semitic.
New York values. And what do we know that to mean?
This was amazing. And on Twitter, oh my God.
Well, New York values. Let's back up a second, though, because how did the question come up? Because didn't he said something at a town hall that Cavuto or somebody asked about?
Mm-hmm. And he said, Cavuto was like, what? It was the other lady who's from New York, and she's like, what are New York values? I'm from New York. And he's like, well, you might not know them, but the good folks here in South Carolina know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, my God. It was such a softball for Trump, though, and I knew exactly what he was going to say, and he did.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a setup almost. He like, went to 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
That's logically where you should go.
And Ted Cruz's face looked like the most uncomfortable, constipated, upset, but trying to be smiling face. Like, how did you not see that coming, dude?
Well, he even clapped against his own.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, my first thought wasn't that he was going to go to 9/11. I was just appalled because I was like, how many electoral votes do you think New York has, brother?
Well, New York is a safe state for Democrats. It's never going to go red in our lifetime. That's not the point. The point is I thought that September 11th was the pardon the term, the Trump card for conservatives. Mm-hmm. Like 9/11 is the answer to everything.
Yeah.
And, you know,
but
I
then
mean,
he describes the New York values as socially liberal, pro-gay marriage, pro-media, pro-money.
Pro-money?
Pro-money. I guess because Wall Street's there?
Oh, it was a shot at Wall Street?
I think it was a shot at Jewish people, personally.
It obviously was.
Yes.
Being a Jewish person.
Yes.
And so did Patton Oswalt, who tweeted exactly at the same moment
I
said that.
The first thing I said, I was like, when they say New York values, they mean Jewish.
Well, he even brought up the gays. That's the only time the gays were brought up tonight, by the way.
Yep.
We'll get to that. All the things they didn't talk about.
Yep.
And they
That's because they kept Santorum at the undercard.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. I mean,
I
this is
they
their
don't
base
do
is
it.
Clamoring for it. They
yeah.
want to hear this stuff, and I think Rentz Priebus has kept it off limits.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he's just issued an edict.
No
contraception. No talk about Planned Parenthood as little as possible at this point.
Don't talk about women at all.
No gays.
Don't talk about rape. Don't talk about women. Don't talk about contraception. Don't talk about Planned Parenthood. Don't talk about abortion. Don't talk about anything.
You want Trump's to pick up moderates, or Trump to pick up moderates. That's how you're going to get it from him.
Well, sure, sure.
Other candidates rip on gays. Trump is,
and that's what exactly what I thought they were going to do is finally press him on that. And it wouldn't surprise me for Trump to just all of a sudden take a hard right position. Like all of a sudden he's a big Christian now. And it's like,
it surprise me. There's no way that he's. I mean, he has thrown things out about Rosie O'Donnell specifically, but there's no way that he can take a position against gay people. There's no way.
If he wants to win Iowa,
there's no way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So why, if you were a Cruz or a Rubio or whoever else, why wouldn't you have called him on it tonight?
Yeah, breeding it up somehow. Pivot.
Like that would have been a pivot for Cruz to do.
Because it would hurt you. I mean, not necessarily in the base, but if we're talking about who's picking people up and we're talking about polling issues.
Nobody cares about the general data. This is all red meat to the base.
I'm talking about polls. The polls are shifting so much more to the side of people being accepting of gay issues.
Not on the Republican side. No way.
They're shifting on every side.
Not in fucking Iowa data. No goddamn way. Well, we don't know because they're not asking about that. They're not talking about it.
Because they're afraid that the polls are shifting so quickly in the other direction.
Not in Iowa. Not Republican caucus voters in Iowa. No chance.
I agree on this one. I'm telling you that why they're not talking about it is because they're afraid that the American consensus is shifting too quickly for them to be able to predict where it's going to be.
You might be right about that, but I guarantee you now that somebody's going to be savvy enough to get some kind of whisper campaign going that somebody's gay or something.
Yeah,
this was a big deal a few months ago, Dana. Remember when, you know, they were asking Scott Walker if he would go to his gay relative's wedding or some bullshit?
Who gives a fuck about Scott Walker, though? I mean, of course his answer is going to be no, and no one gives a shit about Rick Santorum either. We know what his answer is going to be,
back then. Scott Walker was a front runner back then.
All right. Enough.
The point was they didn't bring up gay marriage. And don't tell me it wasn't a big deal. They paraded Kim Davis to the State of the Union and made a big fucking deal about it the other day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hang on. Everybody.
They wanted to out of it.
Hang on.
They got – think about – I know you and I both are on both liberal and conservative Twitter because we want to check in on what the other side is saying and we want to see what our side is saying. How much pro-Kim Davis – was there on social media when you were in that period versus how much
here's
did you
what I would like to say about that. Mike Huckabee is the person who championed Kim Davis, right? He was the person.
Cruz too.
Right? Those are the two. They were like fighting over her.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Huckabee went way down in the polls, and maybe that's the point. Is there like, even where she is, and I don't even remember.
I don't think Huckabee's poll position changed. He's always been 3-4% this whole time.
Okay. Well, anyway, I would like to move on.
All right.
Okay. So, Kasich.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he's on another debate.
I would too. This is the one where he brings up Strom Thurmond.
So weird.
Well, not if you're thinking he's just pandering to the South Carolina audience, but even the response to that was a little muted. Even the South Carolina conservatives like, ooh, Strom Thurmond, I don't know, man.
I mean, it wasn't even
– issue that was at hand – go ahead and present it, Rachel. I just think it was so weird that he brought
it – It was so weird. He was talking about Saudi Arabia and how they're driving down oil prices and if there are friends, we don't need enemies basically because they're destroying the energy economy. And then he like did this weird thing. We were talking about frackers going bankrupt and how we need energy independence but also lower prices. So that was confusing.
Yeah, Kasich contradicts himself quite a bit.
And then he's like, and I have experience with this because when I worked in Washington for 18 years, I was on the, like, defense committee with South Carolina favorite Strom Thurmond, and everybody went, what? We don't talk about Strom Thurmond?
Yeah, yeah. we like to forget. That's like bringing up George Wallace in Georgia or something.
Right? You're like, I was friends with George Wallace. Look at the cred. And you're like, whoa, don't say that out loud. Don't ever admit that again.
Yeah, even in the 90s when people were talking about Strom Thurmond, it was like, what? He was still serving, and they're like, oh, don't talk about Strom Thurmond. He's still in the fucking
Congress.
Right,
he was like 90, and he was like a hospital bed spouting racist bullshit. Yeah,
I actually used to bring him up in high school, not debate, but in civics a lot, because Osama bin Laden had attacked the USS Cole, and he was the fourth in line for the presidency, even though he was basically bedridden. And it was like, if you know, this was way before 9/11. It was like, if somebody wanted to, you know, commit a terrorist attack on the United States, what they'd do is they'd kill the top three people and leave Strom Thurmond in charge, and we'd just be fucking toast.
Strom. Yeah.
Anyway. That was weird. Casey
that
bringing
was weird.
Up Strom Thurmond.
And even the audience was like, clap, clap.
Yeah,
awkward.
We don't want to talk about that.
And then he said, my big problem with Saudi Arabia is that they fund radical clerics, which is probably true.
There's a lot of issues to take with Saudi Arabia. Yeah. All were, you know, the right just fought against virulently with Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11.
Right.
So. Well, I can't believe that their thing that they didn't say, like, what we have against Saudi Arabia right now is that they just beheaded a bunch of people.
Yeah, they have horrible human rights violations and, you know.
Yeah.
They went the religious route and not the, like, they just started fucking killing Iranians. Like,
right.
Can't believe that. Of course, but that would be pro-Iranian, I guess, instead of anti-beheading. I don't know.
Don't expect any coherent line of thought or argument from these people.
Yeah. Okay, so then they asked Carson if he wanted to send 20,000 ground troops to Iraq and Syria to take out ISIS. Man. He basically just doesn't... I don't know what to say about this guy. I don't know. ISIS is real bad, guys. And it's the caliphate that makes them bad, and we gotta take it away. And what I would do is I would talk to the military, and then I would take their oil... And I would bomb oil tankers, and I don't give a shit who's inside of them or casualties from civilians. And then he's like, why would you put a civilian in there if I told you I was going to bomb it? And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? What are you talking about?
I don't think he knew. And he didn't answer the question either.
No. Do you want to put ground troops? Well, ISIS is really bad. I'd bomb that tanker. I don't care if there's a guy in there. What kind of answer? I don't know what answer.
If you put a guy in there, we're going to bomb it. That's the message we're going to send, I think is what he said.
Like, so don't put a guy in there, and then you won't have any casualties. And you're like, I don't think you understand how this works.
I'm consistently surprised that people on the Republican side, they consistently legitimize the caliphate from ISIS.
Well, sure, because it's a boogeyman to make people scared and potentially vote Republican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but nobody knows what the fuck a caliphate is. All it does is advertise to the other side that we
are legitimizing.
Yes,
we legitimize that. We agree that that is a caliphate, even people not of the faith.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that most people recognize that, you know, it's not a caliphate unless, you know.
Right, which is why Obama is exactly right to address it and talk about it the way he does.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a caliphate.
But that's if you're smart and you think about it, and we're talking about Republican voters.
Ben Carson, I mean, my God, the man. Yeah.
No, I'm sure he's given it zero thought, but just the entire Republican side to talk about it as a caliphate, like, nobody in the Western culture knows what a caliphate is. They could call it a leadership. They could call it anything without using the word caliphate and legitimizing it for talking points.
It's basically a religious kingdom.
Right.
Right. And so when we say, like, we need to attack this religious kingdom, on their end, what they hear is, oh, they're waging religious war on our religious kingdom.
Great recruiting tool.
Ridiculous leader or this, you know, false prophet or... Yeah, I mean, we could say any number of things that wouldn't necessarily...
Obama says these are crazy people and thugs. There's not that many of them, and we can strike them surgically. And the Republicans want to say they're a kingdom, and this is a battle of survival.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is exactly what they want.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes, this is a religious war between Christianity and Islam is really what they would like it to be. Instead of us just saying... you're fanatics and killers and shut the fuck up, we're going to take you out, which is what Obama said at the State of the Union.
Well, you know, and I'd like to chalk it up to ignorance on some of the people, like, you know, Ben Carson. I'd even go Trump to a certain degree. But when we start talking about people like, you know, Cruz and Rubio who
they know better. Sure.
They should absolutely know better, and they know exactly that.
But they have to pander to their base and scare people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what's more important, you know?
In politics?
Especially for these winning. Guys are such egotistical, arrogant. Yeah, winning. Making sure that they have power. Yeah, they don't give a shit about the country.
Right on the argument, you know, I guess I just don't understand on this particular one. There's so little nuance as far as I'm concerned that you could be correct on this one and still win your base back, even if it goes against what they already thought. You could just do a little bit of explainer in chief and say, here's why we don't do that.
Do you think your average Republican caucus goer or primary voter could even tell you, A, where ISIS is holding territory?
No.
B, if they're Sunni or Shia?
No.
C, what the difference is between Sunni and Shia?
That there even is a difference.
This is precisely what I'm saying. Like, just a tiny bit of information. Those key facts alone would be enough to maybe make somebody seem like, oh, shit, they know what they're talking about, versus somebody who's just like, boots on the ground.
There is somebody like that. Her name's Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And I also think that would require that they be working with the same set of facts that we're working with, or that they give a shit.
Or facts, period.
Facts, period.
That's true.
And they just don't seem to want to do that. They want to say things that seem scary, and they say things that seem like we're against those brown people just like you, but they're real scary. And, you know, those Democrats are real soft on war, and they're Islamic apologists and whatever.
No climate change tonight either. No climate change, no gays, no reproductive rights.
Nothing.
These things are going to matter.
No domestic issues.
No domestic issues.
Nope.
Rachel, I think what you were just saying is absolutely right. I think if you start dividing these brown people into types of brown people, that's going to break their tiny little brain.
Exactly.
Well, they don't want to think there's a difference.
They're just all those Islam people over there blow things up and hate America.
Syria, Somalia.
That's what we're going
to
do.
I mean,
next,
at least
actually,
Kasich and Bush tried to say, like, oh, actually, you know, we do have some allies in the Arab Muslim world, and we need to work with them.
Yeah, we actually have to coalition build with the people who live in that region if we're going to be effective, which is exactly correct.
But Trump is smart, and he knows that the Republican base doesn't want to hear that.
Exactly.
He just wants to keep the Muslims out. We can't trust them.
That's almost what came up next, too.
So what's the deal with Saudi Arabia, then? Is just everyone so used to hearing that they're an ally that we don't give a fuck about their behavior? Nobody cares?
I mean, that's
pretty
what they
much
asked Kasich, and he said, I have a problem with them, but we don't seem to want to address that in this country because oil.
Yeah, the Carlyle Group and everything else, and the business ties with the oil lobby and the industry. We're never going to war with Saudi Arabia. Never.
No. Okay, so the next question was to Chris Christie about Assad in Syria. And I guess both Saudi Arabia and Qatar have come to someone, according to Lindsey Graham, and said that they would pay for us to go in and take Assad out, and Assad's really bad. And Christie brought up the Obama-Clinton sort of that summer when they said, if they start using chemical weapons against their own people, we should step in, which I tend to agree with, and we didn't do that.
Well, we did. It was kind of vague what stepping in means.
Yeah. It was just really awful that summer. The attacks on the people were just horrific. But then he basically said, no fly zone. No refugees should ever come out. They should all stay in Syria, which is horrific.
Well, that's kind of mixed messaging, right?
Yeah.
Like, we know ISIS is there and we're fighting them, and we know Assad is an awful dictator that kills his people, but you can't come here.
You can't go anywhere. You can't leave the border.
Any one of you could be ISIS.
Yes. And take out Assad, and then he blamed Obama for the fact that we have fewer democracies now than when he came into office, which is horseshit, obviously, because of the Arab Spring and a number of other events that have taken place over the last 7 years.
Egypt. And
yeah, everything. Yeah, Egypt, Iran, all the things.
Taking a note on that point, that was just like Republican warmongering word salad, because what could possibly help ISIS more than taking out Assad?
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
And then you know,
so we want to destroy ISIS by taking out Assad with boots on the ground. And you're like, what the fuck does that mean?
Yep.
They're fighting each other.
And then throw Iran in there. Who was it in the last debate that said – oh, it was Christie that said Iran and ISIS are partners or working together. He didn't say that this time. I guess he realized how ridiculous that sounded.
And he also fucking referenced the wrong King of Jordan, someone who's been dead for 25 years.
Yeah, his friend.
I think that was Carson there. Or was that Christy?
Christy. Oh, that was Christy. Yeah.
Well, whatever. That's the last debate, and everybody forgot that already.
So they asked Trump, so you said the thing about banning all Muslims. You got a lot of backlash. Do you want to take it back? And he was like, nope. Stop being politically correct. Fuck that. And then he kind of softened a little bit. He's like, I would like to temporarily ban them. And he has so many good friends that are Muslims.
And they all say, good job banning all Muslims.
Yay. We think it's a really good idea to ban all Muslims. And then him and Jeb got into it over that.
Yeah, but it's the same argument they have every time. Yep. And it doesn't help Jeb at all.
No, it doesn't. But he's right.
Yeah.
But that is why it doesn't help him, I guess, with the Republican base.
No.
Yeah. And then, oh my God, yeah. Trump's response was then about border control again. When you're like, what does this have to do with Syrian refugees? He's like, people flow over the border, they live, they shoot, and then he like stopped himself because I think he was about to say something about, you know, rapists and drug dealers and things, and was like, I got in trouble for that.
He's like, okay, maybe I don't want to go that far again.
Yeah. And then he started doing this weird thing about the shooters in San Bernardino and how people knew and they didn't turn them into the cops and what's really going on there.
And people saw pipe bombs all over the apartment or whatever.
And nobody turned them in.
It was actually one guy, and that guy's been arrested, so I don't know where he's going with that.
Yeah, and he's basically making this argument of, like, until we find out that kind of stuff, we just can't let any Muslims back in. And you're like, oh, I don't know what that means. That's not sustainable.
Yeah, I actually really want to discuss this issue with you guys. Do we know... are there confirmed reports of people who did not report them when they knew an imminent attack was coming?
The only person that's been confirmed that knew that was this dude, this guy who lived there, not a Muslim. I think he was a Hispanic guy, and he was just friends with them, and he seemed kind of dim-witted, and he sort of either helped or didn't report what he knew, and now he's been arrested as an accomplice. So
yeah. I
haven't heard anything past that. That there's a bunch of people who knew they were planning an attack and didn't say anything. Just that one guy, and he's been arrested.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I had heard, was that it was the one guy who was like, wow, it's really weird that they have all these things, but they weren't talking about a specific particular attack or anything. But, like, you know, I like to think of, you know, the same way...
No, he did more than that. It was kind of like he helped them acquire some stuff, and he played dumb. I don't know what they're doing with, you know, all this explosive material.
Think about the way we talk about this on that side versus the way we talk about the Bundy clan and what they've been doing, and even just kind of the hoarder, or I'm not hoarder, but prepper culture in general. If somebody was like, you know, I bought them a generator for their Christmas present because they've been talking about how they wanted a generator.
Yeah, but if you're a white dude, nobody cares, and no one's going to suspect you of anything.
Right, that's precisely what I'm calling out here, is the difference between the way that those two things would be treated.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised that Fox Business didn't bring up the Oregon thing at all.
Yeah.
Like one little question, you know, about eminent domain, and you could have tied it into government overreach and bureaucracy, which they talked about all night. I mean,
yeah.
I'm a little shocked they didn't want to touch that at all.
No, they weren't.
I guarantee you that was terms with the RNC that we will not talk about this at all, or else no one goes on stage.
Right.
I guess.
Their base wants very surprised that there's not
paperwork somewhere on the books that says that if you bring this up, everyone walks.
But you could have made it just so vague and said, they have a good point about government overreach and domain and, you know, all this overregulation. I mean, it would have been...
Why is there a Federal Bureau of Land Management for people's land or whatever?
Yeah, they didn't have to go that, you know, too far to seem too fucking crazy about it. I thought it'd at least give it lip service, but they didn't, so...
No, I mean, even siding with them a slight bit without knowing what the outcome is going to be, I would... guarantee you that was a predetermined.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, this thing could still go really south.
Yeah, and then you're like, I think they had a good point, and then they killed 10 FBI people or something.
Exactly.
So they had a pause and asked every candidate what their position on Muslim immigration was. So just really quickly, I'm going to run that down. John Kasich said, no Syrian refugees, but yes, Muslims are fine. Chris Christie, same. Rubio, Obama awful, ISIS bad.
And he also said that any country where ISIS has a stronghold, then we can't accept any immigrants from there. So I guess no Iraqi immigrants, no Syrian immigrants.
Yeah. And he's, if we don't know you and we don't know why you're here, you're not coming
in. Oh, that's where he got crazy. He said, and, you know, they even talk about letting in doctors and engineers, but they could be ISIS plants too.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. now we're going to keep out foreign doctors and engineers?
Mm-hmm. Which is...
That's a little crazy.
Yeah. Cruz. Obama acts like an apologist to radical Islamic terrorists. And then he's like, I have a bill that I've put forward that says if you join ISIS, you can't come back to America with a passport. And you're like, that's okay. I mean, yeah, that makes sense. I don't know that. Yeah. Carson said the only kind of smart thing he said, I mean, it's sort of, it's Carson, but he said I would get experts. And then he said some from Israel who are used to screening, quote, these people. Mm. But to develop new guidelines for screening people. And then he would like to keep the Syrian refugees in the al-Saqqa region in Syria. So, again, that kind of going back to, no, you can't leave, but we're going to give you a safe space inside your own country.
And enforce that how?
Yeah.
Without a huge military force?
Yeah. And then Jeb, no fly zones, safe zones, lead a Sunni force, arm the Kurds. He's going to war. Jeb's going to war. No answer about whether or not they can come into our country, but he's going to war.
It's the Bush way.
Yeah.
No, that's never led us astray before.
Nope.
No.
That always works out just fine.
Yeah.
Just arm one of the forces and just hope that they end up on our side in the end.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Mujahideen in Afghanistan.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Works great.
This Bin Laden guy, he's quite a leader.
He seems legit.
This Bin Laden guy, it seems like he'd really do some good work with a rocket launcher.
He did, against the Soviets.
And then us.
So, to take it back just a step, one of my pet things is the... what you guys were saying about the engineers and doctors.
Yeah.
You know, I went to engineering school with a bunch of people from the Middle East who were on student visas,
mm-hmm.
who would have loved to stay in the United States, or would at least considered it. A lot of them had predetermined jobs in the Middle East, you know, from whichever country they came. We had a lot of people from the Emirates, a lot of people from Iraq, a lot of people from Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
But they had predetermined jobs, and that's how they got their college paid for to come down. But they would have loved to have stayed in the States and do engineering jobs here.
Well, Rubio doesn't even want them to come here for school now because they could be secret ISIS terrorists.
Exactly.
Because if you go and get an engineering degree or become a doctor...
Well, then you might go back and learn how to centrifuge...
Uranium.
No, that's not what he's talking about. He thinks that they're going to come here, learn to be an engineer, then blow themselves up at a cafe.
Right.
That's what engineers and doctors do.
That good of an argument that he thinks that they're going to go back and learn how to refine plutonium.
I don't think that's what he was talking about.
No, it wasn't.
He was talking about, like, a doctor coming in and shooting up San Bernardino.
Right. Now, the issue that I have with it is that when we have a bunch of people training and learning at our state and, you know, just our universities in the United States, and we immediately turn them back and say, get the fuck out. It's a huge drain on the economy.
And a brain drain, too.
And it's a brain drain.
Yep.
We train people in the United States with United States engineering principles and then send them to another country where, you know, even if you were going to go super crazy conservative and be like, with, you know, some of our inside information, which I don't think is true. You can pick up a textbook and learn this anywhere. But
sure.
Still, they were trained in the United States. They've been acclimated to the United States. And we immediately turn them around and say, get the fuck out. Now that you're smart and can help us.
Yeah, now that you can go innovate somewhere else.
We're doing ourselves any favors with that policy.
And now they want to go a step further and say, just you can
don't
never
even come study
in.
Here.
No.
You just never come at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're a kid in the Emirates and you're pretty advanced and you want to go to engineering school and the United States has this new policy under President Rubio that says you can't even come in because you could be ISIS, and ISIS knocks on your door and says, we'll pay you whatever, you know, help us design a new bomb. It's like, you didn't think that one through, did you, Marco?
No.
Conservative.
And, you know, it's funny you bring up the Emirates because the one kid that I knew or went to school with that I was super close to that was from the Emirates was such a boon on the economy. He went to Black Hawk every weekend and spent $5,000 every weekend.
Oh, sure, yeah. And that's why we let him in, still for student visas, because they spend a lot of money here, and the universities mm-hmm. certainly want them and want their money, and
yeah.
the local economies want their money.
Somebody after the first year he was here was so westernized that he was a drinker, smoker, a gambler.
A midnight toker?
Kind of a little bit of a midnight toker, and kind of a little bit of a man slut, and he was amazing. He was a great
friend.
These
are the American values I'm talking about, Dana. None of that was brought up tonight.
Yeah.
Nobody talked about any of these things, and he was amazing. And then, you know, he graduated school, and we were like, get the fuck out. Even though he graduated in the top three in the class.
And I'm sure he would have loved to stay and work for Boeing or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. He was actually looking at working at NREL, which is Boulder, which would have been a great fucking job for him, but he kicked him the fuck out.
And there's a rich guy to spend all kinds of money in the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and NREL is for renewable energy.
No,
so
he took some toothless guy's job who, you know.
I don't know how many people at NREL are toothless. Probably a few. Because they work with algae, so some of that's got to get on you.
No, no, I meant, you know, the people that scream the immigrants are going to take our gerbs.
Yeah. Oh, took our gerbs? Yeah.
Took our gerbs guy was up for that same engineering position, don't you know that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't want to spend too much time talking about...
Yeah, we got to wrap it up.
The economy stuff. It was pretty boring.
It was the same exact shit from the last debate, yeah.
There was something about this tariff with China that no one cares about.
No.
And... offshore repatriation of money and blah, 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 blah. I don't care. It's just the same stuff. If you want to know what they said, just go back to the last podcast we did about them, and we can explain it to you there. There was a question.
Apple has their, their plants in China because the labor costs are really cheap, so they can turn around and, you know, sell the products at a crazy top-line margin of profit. And, you know, the Chinese want the companies over there investing there, and they don't care about the people working in the sweatshops for $2 an hour. So
right. And flat tax and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So one thing that I thought was interesting, they asked Trump what if he won, what he would do with his companies. And I thought his answer was exactly what it should be.
Yeah.
They wanted to know if he was going to put them into a blind trust or if he would continue to run them, and he said no, he wanted nothing to do with them. He'd hand them over to his children and his board and executives, and they would run it completely, and he'd have nothing to do with it. So I thought that was interesting.
Just like Cheney and Halliburton, I'm sure.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I don't think anybody asked Cheney that question during the debates. So.
Yeah. So then Chris Christie was talking about law enforcement. And he said the worst quote of the night.
Oh, my God.
He said two things. One, it makes him really angry that Eric Holder and the Justice Department give the benefit of the doubt to criminals and not law enforcement, forgetting, I think, the principle of innocent until proven guilty, Mr. Christie.
Well, basically, we know on prosecutors now, and he was a former prosecutor, I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
No, that makes perfect sense for him as a New Jersey prosecutor.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then he said, what is it? Cops are...
Bang, bang, cops and robbers.
Police officers are the least respected and most...
I have the quote somewhere, but I didn't write it down. Something like the most maligned...
Least respected and most maligned...
People in this country.
Dog whistle much, Christy?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, he was going to be the great uniter that was going to get all the African-American support if he was the nominee,
uh-huh.
Remember?
But now police have fifis and oh, boo-hoo. And then we had the We Want Rand crowd.
That lasted approximately 5 seconds?
Yeah.
And, like, they all shut up in unison, which is weird.
Yeah, it's like five girls.
Why did they choose that moment?
I have no idea. Like, they finally got up the nerve, maybe.
And then they just stopped. It was very awkward, and everyone was just like, okay, that happened.
Yeah.
For anyone who wasn't watching, just all of a sudden... Right after that question, like 60 people in the crowd simultaneously.
60, like, more like 6.
Okay. 6 to 60, somewhere depending on how loud
scream,
you heard.
We want Rand like 4 times exactly and then just shut up in unison.
Yeah,
like,
it was
very
weird.
Loud. They
very
started
awkward.
All at once and then quit all at once. There was no build up, no die down. It was just We Want Rand 4 times.
Yes.
On.
Yeah, I thought it would be more interesting. I thought, before I heard what they're saying, I thought, like, wow, did, like, you know, Trump protesters or Black Lives Matter get
That's
in?
That's what I thought. I was like, right on. What are they saying? Oh,
no,
Rand Paul?
Yeah,
nah, shut up. He's like 1%. And then the last interesting thing that I care about is just Cruz and Rubio got into it about immigration and their respective records and whether or not, you know, Rubio is for amnesty and Ted Cruz signed these bills and all of that. And, I thought Rubio took Cruz down pretty good.
I thought Cruz came back with kid gloves on Rubio. He could have really gone after him a lot harder.
Yeah, but
he's
he
got his
spanked
own
on
issues.
His record,
yeah,
you know?
He's got his own immigration issue, records issues.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's pretty much it. Closing statements. They went way long, and we were just, my brain is fried, and it was a lot.
Well, so have we. We've gone way long, too.
Right before closing statements was, I think, when my cable box shut off because it told me that I had been going on for 4 hours of inactivity.
So funny.
And I couldn't possibly have agreed more. So I was rolling on the floor laughing, trying to turn the cable box back on. So I missed the first one.
It was all, they were all terrible.
Yeah.
They all wanted to get the kick off the stage.
My absolute favorite was Christie's. Trump's. When he called the Iranians who took the people, naval officers hostage.
Uh-huh.
He called them Iranian wise guys.
Oh, yeah, wise guys.
I had to have myself a little chuckle about, like, do Iranians even have wise guys? I thought those were New York values after the long fucking discussion about how New York values are not available, you know.
These wise guys from Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that Iranian boogeyman thing, like, they milked it as much as they can tonight, but it's like, and
it's
no
over.
One's going to care in
it's
a week.
Over.
It's
yeah.
over.
Yeah.
My closing thoughts were, what an absolute shit show.
Yep.
I mean, that was embarrassing. I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be good or interesting, but if you're Rince Priebus tonight, I think you got to be on suicide watch. I mean, this is ugly. This is bad. You have a clown show going on, and I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah.
I mean, your two top guys are Trump and Cruz, and Cruz has got all kinds of problems now. Forget about the fact that everybody hates him and his crazy right-wing record. This $1 million from Goldman Sachs is going to be a thing.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
This naturalized citizen thing is not going to go away. Certainly Trump's not going to let it go away.
Yep.
And, you know, now the crazy World Net Daily people have gotten a hold of it. So it ain't going away. And he's your number two guy, or if you read some polls a certain way, you're number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a two-way race, I think the latest Wall Street Journal poll says Cruz leading Trump by 8. So this is what you got, Rince Priebus. Good luck.
Jeez. None of these people are going to win. That's my final thought. None of these people are going to be the president. Not a single one of them. They are going to be soundly defeated by whomever we put up. Period. End of story. And that is comforting to me in a way. But I really do wonder what their plan is. Like, what do they think what is the plan? Start over? Get somebody new? I don't know.
I mean,
rig it at the.
There's a civil war within a civil war. Because the Trump Cruz thing, if these two continue to be the two top guys, and it looks like they will, is going to get ugly.
Yes.
And then there's the what's left of the establishment versus the Trump Cruz wing, and something crazy could happen at the RNC where they try to sideswipe it. I don't know. I don't see anything. Their dream is that Cruz and Trump would somehow fall away and like Rubio will rise up like a phoenix.
Yep.
I don't see that happening.
Nope.
I don't know. What are your closing thoughts on tonight's shit show?
I really don't see how this is going to end if people don't start dropping out. I think that we're going to end up with something like in 1954 or 1968 where there's an actual upset at the actual nomination.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, that would be interesting, but I don't think any of these people have the wherewithal to do it, and I think the system's a little rigged on their side. I don't think that anyone's going to continue to support them enough that they can, you know, withstand that.
Well, I think there'd and be revolutions.
Other than that, just like this GOP field is, you know, a bigger shit show than two girls, one cup. I can't say it any better.
Well, here's the problem, right? I mean, Rubio is doing everything he can to sound like super arch conservative guy, but he still sounds like a politician.
Yes.
And that's what everybody's sick of.
Yeah.
On their side. And Trump just gets up there and sounds like the guy at the bar bitching about the state of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people are relating to.
Mm-hmm.
And people – the mainstream media thought that people were going to be over it by now, but they're not, and it doesn't seem to be changing.
Yep.
So this is it, guys. Trump and Cruz.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, Rubio was such a mess up there tonight. Like, he didn't grab for a bottle of water, but he might as well have. He was such a nervous –
Really? You thought so?
I didn't
I do think he was really nervous. I think he was really too rehearsed, not answering the questions, all over his own agenda, to the point where he just felt so politician-y and so kind of hawkish and warmongery that is not his normal kind of, you know, pseudo-compassionate conservatism thing that he tries to go for a little bit.
Yeah, but try to think like a GOP base person.
I am. He seemed so, like,
you can't be too on hawkish. Edge.
Yeah, like, but he on was edge. Way rehearsed. Like, yeah. way, like, stump speech instead of answering the question.
It was stump speechy and
well, so was Cruz.
Cruz was rehearsed and hawkish. Rubio was nervous and hawkish, which I don't even think even your most, like, I want every boot on the ground person in the world wants a nervous, hawkish person, you know?
Right. Yeah, I guess you're right. I could see that. That's a little more nuanced than I want to give Republican primary voters credit for thinking. But Trump was the same Trump you've been seeing for this last 6 months, so yeah, I can't see how this will hurt him.
Yeah, no surprise there. That was Trump as usual.
Cool. This has been a very long, arduous rendition of Irreverent Testimony, and we have another Democratic debate in like a half hour.
It's on Sunday.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz put it on Martin Luther King Sunday to nobody would watch.
So we'll run it down for you guys because no one else will fucking watch it.
No one else even knows it's on. So
no. Yeah. So there we go.
Look for that after the holiday weekend.
Thanks, Debbie.
Arliss Bunny will be back with us probably sometime in February. She's busy through the rest of the month, and we're still working on the possibility of getting some syndication, so stay tuned for that. I've been Travis.
I'm Rachel.
I've been Dana.
And as usual, stay active, stay involved, and stay online or something. Good night. Bye.
Just for one day.